the last 3 years, we've just been camped on the language of being found, like be found. So this year, I really felt the language of be found in the field, to be found in the sphere or the field of life that you're called to, and, you know, being attentive to that and mindful of what's going on. And so I really hope by the grace of God that we can encourage that and inspire women and send them away from, you know, the entertainment centre down there, downtown, just more empowered for wherever they're planted in life.
And is that the same vision that Stay the Path is born out of, that idea of be in the path, be in the field, be in the place where you're called and stay there?
Yeah, totally. It's like, I mean, I think this book is more about our heart story again, our journey, our pilgrimage, things we've learned along the way. Like, I just turned 60, so this is a whole new reality for me.
Doing it well.
Yeah, thank you. And, of course, Brian and I have been married 40 years. We've been in ministry together in this church alone over 32, 33 years, something like that. So there's a lot of, we've done a lot of distance. You know, you live life, and it's you're pioneering, and you're, you know, carving out a church and a ministry that, you know, has exceeded all our expectations.
Yeah.
That God has just breathed upon, not only here in Australia but around the world, and so with that comes territory, with that comes challenges, and, you know, lots and lots of wonder. I think, you know, the tagline on the book is "Stay the Path." You know, navigating the challenges and wonder of life and love and leadership. And so I've tried to give voice to much of that. And you can't begin to, you know, put on paper in a book that size everything that you've learned. So what I did was I just drew back, I created, you know, a rough structure, but there's 10 chapters, and I just went, okay, there's so much, God. Which part of the journey do you share?
Yeah.
I kind of put it in the language of, if my journey could teach you anything, by the grace of God, if my world or my story or my experience could add to your experience, what would I say? And so rather than try to fit everything in, which was giving me brain cramp, I just said, okay. And I just sat there with a blank page, and I really just wrote inspiration. I just let the Holy Spirit kind of drop it.
Yeah.
So I really hope it's a blessing to people.
For you, I mean, there is such a big story, 40 years of marriage, so many years of ministry. When did you know what the path was that you wanted to follow in your life?
I got saved at 15. So I came to Christ at 15. Prior to that, I believed in God. I actually did. But I didn't know him. I hadn't had a personal encounter. I wasn't planted anywhere. I didn't have... I had something that drew me to church, but I didn't know how to go to church. I tried when I was a little girl. I didn't know what to do. I visited what was our, in theory, family church, and I just didn't know what to do there. The preacher, the priest or whoever, he said, well, all the children can go to Sunday school now, and my little girlfriend and I think we're like 10 or 11 or 12.
Yeah.
You know, we just, maybe 10, we just stood in the little lobby and we were like confused, and so we just left. So I came to Christ at 15.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with the Lord. I just fell in love with Jesus and wanted to serve him, although, you know, I didn't know really what that would look like. I don't know if any of us truly know what that would look like. And so it's always been in my heart. And then I met Brian when, you know, we were fairly young. I got married at 20 and we moved to Australia, and the rest is history.
And the part where Carla fits in, the women's ministry side of that, has always been a distinct part of your ministry, and I'm sure part of your legacy, of course, is going to be everything you've done in female ministry, in women's ministry. Was that part of the intention, to kind of bring that to the forefront of what you do?
Not the intention when we first started, when we first started pioneering. So it's like everything. It's like God, just you walk through one door, you're faithful with that, and then he opens another door. And then perhaps another door. And so in that time frame, you know, there was just a moment. I actually write about it in the Sisterhood book, which was last year, but I released last year, that is. But there was just a moment where just the lights went on, and I just felt God challenged me in this context of women to step up and take responsibility for the welfare, the well-being of the women in our church.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that is, you know, old school. That is women's ministry as such. And I love and respect that. I love and respect the shoulders that we're standing on, the women who in their season and time frame carved out what they carved out and were diligent with what they had and used the tools that they had. But, you know, it's always there's always new wineskins in the journey.
Yeah.
Wineskins serve a generation. And so in some ways I just took that, you know, that ancient message, because God's always believed in his girls. I just took that and maybe wrapped it in a little bit of a different language and whatever vision. And it's just resonated with girls.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's grown. So everything has early beginnings, but, you know, small beginnings, and then it just grows and it becomes what it becomes.
And how do you stay the path in the midst of that growth? Because when it grows, it gets attention, and that can be hard sometimes to handle, I guess. How do you remain committed to the original vision in the midst of all the change?
Yeah, I think the short answer to that is you need to know what your convictions are. You need to have it clear in your heart what you're seeking to do, what you're giving your life to. And as you experience the ebb and flow of that and the bends and the curves and the things that can come, you know, you can end up wanting to do a million. You can have an idea, a God idea, and then there can be a million good ideas that could go with that. And it's having, I guess, knowing the true conviction and the simplicity of what you're doing so that you don't get sidetracked or lose your focus with all the good ideas. I'm quite pedantic about that. There's lots of good ideas in the world, but really, what are the God ideas?
Mm.
And I feel like this message in this season of time and history for God's daughters is a God message.
Yeah.
And women need to hear it.
What is the key message, do you think, that women need to hear right now? Is it one of value, or is it one of knowing they have a place in church and in culture?
Yeah, I think, especially the third, all of those things. Actually, all of those things, Laura, you hit it on the nail. It's knowing that you are valued and that there is a God in heaven who believes in you and that you're not alone in that, which can sound so easy to say. And so it can become familiar to women who already know that. So that's established in their heart. But we must never lose sight of the millions of lives around the world who don't have that revelation.
Mm.
So that's a very powerful part of it. And then, of course, you know, I believe that, you know, the church is broad, she's diverse, she's beautiful. But, you know, God created us men and women together. And I think historically there have been, women have felt contained when it comes to ministry. I know it's a tender subject. I know it's sometimes a bit of a sacred subject for some. In fact, at Colour we're going to seek to unearth a little bit of that with grace. Mm-hmm. And try to address it, because, you know, in our context, it's not even an issue.
Yeah.
Like women being involved in ministry, but it is another place. It's very normal. It's very natural, unforced.
Yeah.
It bears fruit. It's not an issue, but I recognise that as a church leader, that that's not true everywhere.
Yeah.
So I want to present some of that message, but with grace. And, you know, you take people on a journey. And then, of course, society, because, you know, the world needs us. The world needs women. And yesterday was International Women's Day, and you know, there's so many messages that go with that. And you know, I think the world, society's come a long way, but she still has a long way to go.
I notice one of the things that people admire about the aspects of that message you bring as an individual and as a church, and the way you deliver on the platform, is that there is such authenticity. There's so much fun. You don't mind having a giggle. You don't mind snorting on the platform, which has happened a couple of times, and it's beautiful to watch the honesty of it all.
Right.
How do you remain authentic and fun and true as an individual when so many people are watching what you do?
I don't know. I think you just have to be yourself. Like, honestly, like, just learning to be yourself, but I always qualify that by saying, make sure that's your redeemed self.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think honesty and transparency is very attractive. People identify with that, you know? And so, yeah, I have no trouble, like, taking the mickey out of myself. I share far too much information. But somehow that kind of resonates.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you've also got to learn to be quite statesmanlike, or try to be. See, yeah, my voice just got posh then.
Yeah, it's because you've got to carry it.
Got to be statesmanlike. Uh-huh. Yeah, and but that's only because you're talking to a broad audience, and I recognise that at Colour. I want to be myself, but that platform attracts women from every single denomination across Australia, from all walks of life, society, women who are girlfriends, they're on the page, they're with you, they'll laugh with you, they'll cry with you, easy peasy. Then you've got a woman walking in, she's never been in that environment. She's like broken, she's like, there's so many things pressing in on her. So you know, just having that balance. And I think sometimes you can't over-process it. You just need to be mindful.
Mm.
And I really try to be mindful before God. I'm like, Father, because I can't do this in my own strength. I know that. In fact, I've spent the last 3 weeks here at our local sisterhood talking about abundance and capacity and having the capacity, allowing God to grow your capacity and some of the dynamics that will enlarge our capacity so we actually can keep going and stay the path.
Yeah, well, because one of the things that you've also been really honest about is that you're not naturally like a confident, a talkative and extrovert style of person. You've said that you're very shy and that talking wasn't your natural thing, which I don't think anyone would know now, but that's obviously something you've had to step up and step over.
Yeah.
How did you get over the things that were qualms for you and then step into the ministry position that God had called you to?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you just, in life, you grow in confidence. And that's true for everyone. So the more you do something, the more comfortable you become with it. Yeah, so I am comfortable. I'm not afraid to stand. I think I've said this to you before. I'm not actually afraid to stand in front of 20,000 people. But I'm where my angst is or where my due diligence is that, Father, I've got something to say.
Yeah.
You know, because we're not, I mean, we do sometimes, you wing it as in when you trust God. But we're not winging this. This is, people's time is precious. They've made an investment. And I think I think it's a good pressure I put on myself, but it's like, I want every moment to matter, Father.
Mm.
Even the fun moments, I need to have a reason. I just want to make sure that everything we do, Father, has your stamp on it and there's a purpose to it and we understand why we're doing it. Because you get two or so days with some, you know, the girls.
Yeah.
And what was the other part of the question? I've forgotten.
I guess how you step up. How do you find the confidence when you don't feel like you've got it?
Yeah. Well, for me, stepping up into some of the things that were not natural for me being as a younger person, it was the convictions. So my conviction about this message, for example, was greater. I realized this is greater than my fear, so I have to step over these lines.
Mm.
And keep stepping over these lines. And, you know, I'll be honest, I don't feel any more able all these years on, you know, about to go into my 21st conference around the world. I still feel vulnerable. I still feel like, Father, I can't do this in my own strength. I need you.
Yeah.
Now, I can do. You craft... your gift grows and your skill set grows and the team around you and we remember the lessons along the way that so that we don't get it wrong this time. And, you know, you grow in all of that. And I have confidence that he's never failed and I have confidence in the message. And I have confidence that, you know, at the end of the day, we just got to point women to Jesus and we've got to love them. And that's simple. Like, I can do that. But the bigness of it sometimes weighs on me and I'm like, oh, God, I can't do this. But then again, you step over the conviction. You step over the line and you take a deep breath in God and you go, you know what? So, Father, whilst it's still in my hand, I can do this.
Yeah. And 21 years in, as you mentioned, that's such a significant milestone. Clearly, as you've mentioned, you have a love for women and a belief in them. Why do you still create that place for women to gather and still invest in that time? Obviously, that it takes you guys as a team going into nine of these. Why still invest in women in that way?
Yeah, because there's oceans of girls who have not yet entered the room and there's oceans of girls who don't yet know these truths. I just met a girl, a student downstairs just now at sisterhood meeting and she came with tears in her eyes and she said, I'm so grateful that you do this, Pastor Bobby. She goes, my mum and my sister are coming from Portugal.
Hmm.
And, you know, that has been historically quite a, you know, religious environment. You know, there's religious constraints. And, you know, she said, she's like, I'm so grateful that they're going to come. So when you hear those stories, you know, you're like, yesterday I was at Grandparents' Day for Willow May, you know, Brian and I, and in the library buying books as you do for the library. And, you know, this lady tapped me, she was in the line, she tapped me, she said, oh, I can't wait for next week. And she's, you know, from an Anglican church. And she said, I've been coming for years. And she said, I bring all my girls and it is just the best.
It's awesome.
So, you know, it's a great girls' weekend out. It's time to connect with the people that you love. And then just be in an environment that I believe just waters what's in individual lives.